go for a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime exposé from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the live broadcast. My name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Good to be with you again, another Sunday night live program here. And a lot of things to talk about tonight. Our guest tonight in a few moments will be IRS problem solver Daniel Pilla. He's been with us before. We're always excited to have him with us. If you're somebody that owes money to the IRS, maybe you haven't filed a tax return in a few years, anybody that has an IRS problem, Dan Pilla is a very trusted source. You know, he's a guy that he'll tell you the truth. He's not going to tell you there's a great loophole to be able to get rid of your debt for one penny on the dollar. But there are programs, there are ways of settling with the IRS. And Dan Pilla will be with us here in just moments, so stand by for that. Also, our website, of course, ChristianMoney.com, ChristianMoney.com. A lot of things going on in the news. This week, it looks like it's that time of year again. The president will be doing the State of the Union address, which I don't know. I think there's just a general apathy about Barack Obama right now. I think even the critics are sort of just bored with the guy. It's like a one-trick pony. We don't really know. It's like we're waiting the final 3 years here for something new to happen. It's like, I don't know, just kind of bored with the guy, not expecting anything good, and almost just don't care anymore. But yes, I'm certainly not planning my Tuesday night around the State of the Union address. I'm going to plan something interesting to do. A lot of things happening in the news here. This I saw was a fascinating story. Google has just received a patent for something called ad-based cab rides. And I just read an article on this here moments before we went to air. And this is really interesting. Say that you are walking around in downtown Chicago. And you go on your smartphone and you see that there is an opportunity for you to get a free cab ride across town to a department store like, let's say, Macy's. And maybe Macy's, you know, has an ad that pops up on your phone and it says, hey, if you and this is becoming more and more the case because of the smartphones being connected to GPS, even really more than GPS, where they know almost within one square foot where you're standing. And if you turn these location service features on your phone, what could happen is something like this. So Macy's knows that you're a mile away from their store, and they know that you might be a regular customer, so perhaps somehow this app is sort of linked into your customer history, and they flash you a message on the screen that says, come down to Macy's and we'll pick up the cab ride, or a local restaurant, hey, come and join us for dinner, we'll pick up the cost of the cab. And this is somehow going to launch, I guess, in the next year or so. It sounds like it's not something that's going to happen like in weeks or months, but maybe a year out. They don't specifically give us a time frame here in this article. But this is really going to be targeted to people that will be, that will be able to receive motion for their phone that would be able to offer you as part of a cab ride. And I don't know, this is just it's almost interesting. I mean, interesting in the sense that, wow, that sounds really convenient. But at the same time, do I want to go into this Vanilla Sky world? I'm making reference to the movie Vanilla Sky, where Tom Cruise is walking through the mall and the kiosks are actually talking to him and personally making offers to him based on his buying history. Sort of what's like happening to us right now when we browse around the internet. I don't know if this is something that happens to you, but it does to me and others I know, where I might, let's say, go over to Amazon and maybe be looking to buy a certain item, like maybe I'm looking for, which I was looking to buy some running shoes 2 weeks ago. So I type that in over at Amazon, and now every time I go to Amazon, there's different promotions for running shoes. But even worse than that, I believe I typed it in on Google once as well. And now, at least for the last couple of weeks, it seems like there are running shoe ads that follow me from one website to the next. But this is pretty neat. An advertiser paid taxi ride. And you're walking around and all of a sudden you get message that, hey, come and have dinner with us. Come to our store. Come to our mall. And we'll pick up the taxi ride. Who knows? That looks like something we're going to be all seeing here in the next year or so. I'm always interested to get sort of what the next latest thing is on the internet before it is actually out there. And it looks like something that's going to be really big. I imagine that being very, very popular. I'm wondering, though, how the taxi driver community is going to react to this. It didn't really get into any details. Will the taxi driver be paid like their normal fare? Will these be like Google cars driving around? And maybe it's not that you're actually going to be taking an official taxi ride. You're going to get a free ride from like a car that's wrapped in Google, you know, advertising. I don't know. But it's interesting. I know there's a lot of controversy right now about these ride sharing services, which are popping up all over the country. Where you can find someone to drive you from point A to point B on a donation basis using the internet, and the taxi driver community is really, really up in arms about this. Well, let's talk about something else here. No fiat coin. This is fascinating, and if you are a subscriber to our subscriber-only website, Christian Money Plus, which you can get to that by going over to christianmoneyplus.com, I put up some information about this over the weekend. There's also an article over at my regular blog, blog.christianmoney.com. Many of you know about Bitcoin. Many of you know we've been talking about a digital currency called Ripple. And this is brand new. It just came out within the last couple of weeks. It's called No Fiat Coin. And what makes it interesting and different as a digital currency is that one-third of the value of this currency is going to be backed by gold and silver. And so for all of those gold bugs out there, the precious metals people that have been bashing, bashing the digital currency people, saying, oh, you're buying something that's not real. It's, it's just a computer currency. There's nothing physical behind it. Well, this is an interesting comeback to that. And it is the latest digital currency making its debut. And it's very, very interesting. And I actually bought one unit of this. And let me see here if we've got a price history. Yeah, we do. Okay. So It looks like this started trading at $3 around, it looks like maybe January 18th, January 19th it started, which was a couple weeks ago. And right now today it's trading for $6.29. So it's already doubled in like the first week and a half of it being in existence. So I put a little bit of money in today. I bought one unit, which is $6.29. So if you're interested in finding out more about this currency, and you know, some of you will laugh and say, oh, there he goes again, putting a dollar into something or $5 into something. Hey, don't laugh. My $20 in Bitcoin ended up at one point being worth like $1,400. So we will see what happens with this new currency that is partially backed by gold. Maybe this will start a new trend, but it's called no fiat coin. And there is an article over at blog.christianmoney.com, blog.christianmoney.com, and also over at christianmoneyplus.com. We'll be talking more about this. In fact, we messaged the folks behind No Fiat Coin today, and you can get to their website, nofiatcoin.com. We messaged them today on Twitter, and we are going to try and book them on an upcoming show. But at this point, that won't be for at least a couple weeks out. Why? Because next week is the Super Bowl. And we decided we're not going to do a live show during the Super Bowl. Number one, my producers, Joy and Faith, would probably, they would probably go into a rebellion. They'd go on strike and not want to work, and I'd be stuck trying to produce the show myself. So that's one of the reasons. But we probably would guess no one would be listening. So we're going to run a replay next week, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not sure what replay we're going to run, but we won't be here live next week because of the Super Bowl. But I'll be honest with you, just as I said about the upcoming State of the Union address on Tuesday night, I'm not really that interested in the Super Bowl. I've never been a big football fan, but this matchup, two West Coast teams, I don't know. My wife likes to watch the Super Bowl because she likes to see the commercial. She's very interested in, who the performers are at halftime and all of that. But, I don't know. I'm just not interested in this one. I mean, call me a sissy. I'm just not interested in the Super Bowl this year, and maybe it's just me, but one of my relatives, my brother-in-law, is actually going to be at the Super Bowl. He was lucky to win some kind of contest, and he got a free trip to the Super Bowl. So him and his wife are, I guess they're being flown in and staying at a nice hotel and all that, but the Super Bowl is coming up next Sunday night, so we will be running a replay. But we had some folks at church today that were promoting. One lady had her Broncos t-shirt on and was talking about the Denver Broncos. I guess they're from Denver originally. But this West Coast matchup, the Seahawks and the Broncos, I don't know. I just have no interest in this particular Super Bowl. But if somebody, one of my friends, which I'm sure is going to happen, I've got so many friends that have parties around the Super Bowl, there's probably going to be a party invitation that I'll get to maybe be able to go hang out at somebody's house and get some free pizza and potato chips out of it. And if that invitation comes this week, I'm likely to grab that and just go for the social opportunity. But nothing in my world will be revolving this week around the Super Bowl. Other quick news before we get to our guest. Postal rates will be going up on Monday. If you're somebody that does a lot of mailing, you probably noticed this. The cost of a first-class stamp is going to go up 3 cents on Monday. Other things happening, people are talking about the new Fed chairman, what moves that she's going to be making, right out of the box. We're not expecting to see a whole lot of changes there. In fact, if anything, maybe a little bit more quantitative easing. Some things on the newswire tonight. Let's see here. Asian stock markets not doing well. It looks like weakness in currencies in the Far East. Nothing else really happening of any consequence. I did think it was interesting, though, about what's happening in Detroit. And a lot of people still, you know, talking about the fact that, hey, there are, you could buy a house in Detroit for a dollar, but there are no takers. So it just seems like, you know, things continue to get worse for Detroit. Even though you could buy a house there for a dollar, you'd think that that might attract some inflow of folks, but no, and they continue to talk here about bulldozing neighborhoods and such other scary things, such as a one-hour wait time when you call the police in many parts of Detroit. So I guess you need to be packing your own firearm if you're going to be moving to Detroit. In any case, we are going to continue on here. I guess for a couple of moments, we are trying to make the connection with our guest, Dan Pilla. One of the other things interesting to talk about, going back to the no fiat coin, one of the things that I found fascinating about this is the connection with Ripple. And for those of you that are familiar with Ripple XRP, we've been talking about this now for a few months. Many people believe that Ripple will be the next Bitcoin. And you can actually buy Ripple today for around, it's actually less than a dime. I think it's like 2 or 3 cents trading today, Ripple. But one of the things about Ripple, and you can go to ripple.com and you know, get some more information about Ripple, and there's a bunch of information that we have on Ripple over at ChristianMoney.com or blog.ChristianMoney.com, is the Ripple platform, what's called the, they call it the world's open payment system. And we did something interesting last week. We actually took Ripple, you know, we're buying Ripple. We've got several thousand units of Ripple now in our Ripple wallet. We actually just tried something. One of our students told us they had done this and emailed me, so I thought, well, I'll try it. I actually sent my Ripple XRP. I did a transaction where I sent Ripple XRP to my Bitcoin wallet. And this was really bizarre. I couldn't believe it worked. It did. I was able to actually send Ripple to my Bitcoin wallet, and it became Bitcoin. It is now in my Bitcoin wallet. So it was a way for me to be able to buy Bitcoin through Ripple. Well, what's interesting about no fiat coin, the currency symbol for this is XNF. That's X-Ray Nancy Frank. They are trading exclusively on the Ripple network. So what I was able to do was log into my Ripple wallet today and configure my trading dashboard. And I was able to go ahead and purchase one no fiat coin, and I was able to buy that with Ripple. And it's really, really fascinating when you look at the Ripple platform, what they're able to do there as far as, you know, converting your Ripple into currencies of almost any major country, using your Ripple XRP to be able to buy these other digital currencies. Just really, really fascinating. And as I said in my article I posted yesterday over at blog.christianmoney.com, one of the really underreported or really underappreciated aspects to Ripple is its trading platform. Not only is it a very interesting digital currency, but the fact that this platform that they've developed allows you in such a fluid manner to just move between this Ripple currency and all of these other world currencies and other digital currencies. And we think it is interesting and noteworthy that no fiat coin, the new digital currency backed one-third by gold and silver, decided to trade itself exclusively on the Ripple platform. So very, very interesting stuff, and we've got a new article on that over at our blog, which is blog.christianmoney.com, blog.christianmoney.com. All right, I am told from our producer, Joy, that our good friend, IRS problem solver, Dan Pilla, is with us. And Dan, good to have you back with us. Happy New Year.
Hey, it's good to be back, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Well, let me start by asking you, is there anything interesting happening you know, as we're going here to the new year with the IRS, do we have any like major announcements or updates or items of note that 2014? I know the one thing is the penalties start, right, for those that don't have an official Obamacare insurance policy. I mean, that would be new, but maybe you can comment on that and any other new things that we need to look for in 2014.
Oh, well, you're right, Jim. That's certainly new. Of course, it's not unexpected, though. We knew that was coming, and you and I have talked about in the past. And I guess the question that I have, and I don't know what the answer to this question is, quite frankly, is, you know, how is this going to apply, these penalties, given the fact that the Obamacare website is just such a disaster, and we just don't have the capacity to, you know, to get on that site and do the things that are expected to be done to avoid the penalty in the first place. So at the very least, Jim, I think that we're going to have a situation where, you know, anybody that might be hit with that penalty that's got some history or evidence of having tried to sign up but couldn't, you know, certainly may have a claim to have that penalty canceled. We'll just have to, you know, we'll just have to see how that plays out. Of course, the other thing that's that's new, and this is not particularly earth-shaking, but the filing season does not start until the end of January. Now, normally it starts the first week in January where anybody can file their tax return. But because of the government shutdown, they're telling us that they have been unable to get certain elements of the programming done to accept tax returns for 2013. And so there's going to be a delay there. It's not a significant delay, but there will be some delay there.
Okay, and we were told that there would be a delay because of the government shutdown. What was that, like a week and a half or 2 week shutdown? It seems like it's having...
That was 17 days, Jim. They went out the last day of September 30th. So the first day was October the 1st, and it remained shut down until October the 17th. So it was a good 2.5 weeks.
So we're going to see you know, that number of days sort of you know, pushing us out a little bit. So for those that are like the really super early filers that their taxes filed even in the month of January, those folks might be delayed by a week or two. That's interesting to know. Anything else this year in terms of your area? And we're going to, of course, get into all of that here today. But anything in terms of any new program, any increased or decreased enforcement on those that have IRS debts? Any news in that realm?
Well, yeah, there is, Jim. As far as enforcement's concerned, you know, the IRS has been ramping up enforcement pretty steadily here over the last couple of years. And in 2013, we saw significant enforcement in terms of levies and tax liens and so on that have been filed. The other thing that's going on here is we the IRS now has an accounts receivable ledger, delinquent tax accounts, that is high as it's ever been. It's over $370 billion in delinquent tax accounts. And these are debts that are on the books, Jim. These are taxes that people owe and they haven't paid and can't pay. And so this is a pretty significant problem. And that, of course, is what is driving this significant enforcement action that's going on right now. And so, you know, I think anybody that's got a tax debt problem from years past or is anticipating a tax debt problem here going forward, they need to take some action to get that resolved. Because if you don't do anything, if you just hope against hope that it's going to go away, the fact of the matter is it's not going to go away. And what you're going to end up with is some kind of third-party levy, wage levy, bank levy, that sort of thing. And it's going to be a real problem here going forward.
What about it seems like the IRS targets famous people in some cases. You know, we hear, you know, stories about certain, you know, influential people like Wesley Snipes going to prison. But then you'll see other stories like Al Sharpton, for example, where I kind of don't understand this. You'll hear a story in the news about Al Sharpton from time to time about owing the IRS like over $1 million. And he's got like a big TV show on MSNBC. And I don't know, he seems like a fairly well-off guy. How does that happen where you seem to have some people that are pursued and others that seem to not be pursued? I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the Al Sharpton story at all, but it is interesting just to wonder why there seems to be sort of a difference in how some people are treated compared to others?
Well, first of all, Jim, I would make the comment that we don't know how the IRS is pursuing a certain individual or not. I mean, some of these cases that hit the news, sometimes those are high-profile criminal cases, and the only reason they do hit the news is because once it becomes a criminal case, now it's public record, and so, you know, there might be a news release somewhere, there might be somebody that is looking at court filings, and they say, oh, look at this, a high-profile person is in trouble with the IRS, and then the next thing you know, it's in the news. The fact of the matter is that a criminal prosecution in dealing with the IRS is very, very rare, and by that I mean, you know, you've got 140 million individual tax returns that are going to be filed with the Internal Revenue Service in 2014 for 2013, and during the course of 2014, you're going to have no more than about 2,500 criminal prosecutions. So, I mean, you literally have a better chance of being eaten by a shark than you do of having criminal trouble with the IRS. Now, having said that, there's tens of millions of people that have problems with the dollars and cents aspect. In other words, they have no risk of going to jail. It's not like the IRS is going to knock on the door and drag them off to jail, but the IRS is going to want to collect money through wage levies, bank levies, that sort of thing. Now, Jim, as long as a case like that stays in the civil realm, there is no public record of what goes on. So, in other words, you're not going to have court filing documents. You're not going to have news releases. You're not going to have the kind of situation that would create public attention to a particular problem. And so you seem to, you know, you might say to yourself, well, you know, the IRS isn't doing this or isn't doing that. Well, but we don't know that. And I will tell you that in any collection situation, the fact of the matter is that the IRS is far more aggressive in collecting taxes than it ever is in criminal prosecutions. So if you've got civil tax liabilities, that is to say a dollars and cents issue, then the fact is that you are going to have some collection problem with the IRS, even though the public might not know it.
His name is Dan Pilla. I call him the IRS problem solver. His website, taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. And we're taking your call tonight or email questions if you'd like to join us with your phone call for Dan Pilla. Maybe you've got an IRS issue. You've been trying to resolve it. 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316 if you'd like to join us. Or email questions, jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. And I did post this on my Facebook page earlier today, Dan. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. I don't know if there's – do you have our show on, like, on a computer in your same room?
I do not, Jim. In fact, it's completely quiet in this room that I'm in. So
okay.
Not even a radio or music or anything going on here.
All right, maybe it's just echo back on my own line. Well, okay, we put it up on Facebook today, Dan. We got a bunch of things that have already come in. So let's start with probably the most fascinating question today. Somebody contacting me saying they haven't filed a tax return in years, and they're afraid to, because if they go forward, they're afraid of being criminally prosecuted, but they want to somehow resolve this, and they want to know, how do you step forward without basically ending up being criminally charged if you haven't filed in a few years? I always wonder, how do you not file for years and not have the IRS, like, already pursuing you? I mean, I've never missed a year of filing a tax return. I don't know how that happens. I mean, but I hear these stories regularly from people that haven't filed for 15 or 20 years, and it seems like they're walking around and the IRS isn't really bugging them about it. But here's someone that wants to do the right thing now. What are your thoughts?
Well, the answer, first of all, let me answer your question, how this happens. I mean, it's very, very common. And the IRS estimates there's between 7 to 10 million non-filers out there. I personally think the number's higher than that based on the conversations that I have with people and the things that I see around the country. But you know, whatever the number is, the fact is that there's all kinds of people that are in this situation. And the way it happens, frankly, is, you know, you get yourself into a situation where, you know, here it is, the end of January. We know the tax returns are going to be due in a couple of months. April 15th is the deadline. And you've got somebody that owes a lot of money to the IRS, and they just don't have the money to pay. And what those people typically do, Jim, is they'll say to themselves, look, I'm going to get an extension of time to file the return. I'll put in an extension. That'll get me until October to file the return. And then, you know, in that six-month window, I'll be able to raise the money to pay the taxes. Well, what happens is in that six-month window of time, they rarely ever are able to raise the money to pay the taxes. So here comes the filing deadline now of October. They still don't have the money to pay. They don't think they can file the return without the money, and so consequently they don't file that tax return. Now, when people do that, they think the IRS is going to kick the door down, you know, 3 days later and haul them off to jail or immediately start levying their bank accounts, but that doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen because there's no assessment. Until there's an assessment of tax, you don't owe the IRS anything. And, of course, if you haven't filed that return, there's no assessment. So now the person thinks, okay, I'm going to get my life on track here. I'm going to get things back in line, and I'll file the return as soon as I can. Well, before you know it, it's April 15th of the next year. Now they've got the obligation to file their next tax return. They still haven't filed the previous one. Now they're really scared. They don't think they can file a second return because they missed the first one. And now, before you know it, Jim, they're in this non-filing pattern that goes on for 3, 5. I've seen this go on for 10 or 15 years. And so that's how it happens. And frankly, it typically does not go on for, you know, indefinitely, because the IRS does step up when you don't file a return. Eventually they'll find you, especially if there's a 1099 or W-2 on file with the IRS. They will eventually cross-check those information returns with their tax return database and realize that you haven't filed, and then they will be in your face for the tax returns. And now if you don't file the returns, they're going to file them for you. And when they do that, Jim, it's bad news, because now they just make up the numbers and you know, that you end up owing 10 times more than you would have if you'd have just filed your own return. So the first bit of advice I would give to this person is number one, you've got to stop the tax delinquency pattern, all right? You've got to stop the string of delinquencies. And the way you do that, this is counterintuitive, but it's absolutely true. And the way you do that is you don't worry about the back tax returns that are missing, all these delinquent returns for tax year 2012, 11, 10, 9, however far it goes back. Don't worry about those right now. The first thing you got to do is file your 2013 tax return on time. You know, here it is, January. Your 2013 tax return is not late. It is not true that you have to file these delinquent returns before you can catch up. That is not true. So what you got to do is skip to the head of the line, as it were. Bypass all the delinquencies, file the 2013 tax return, and pay that tax. Now you've got yourself into a position where you're current, and now we can start working on the back tax returns, the delinquent returns for the other years. The IRS has a Fresh Start program, Jim, that I talk about in my tax amnesty material, which is available on my website. That tax amnesty material will show you step-by-step how to get those delinquent returns filed, how to step forward. Under the Fresh Start program, when you step forward and voluntarily file those delinquent returns, the IRS has essentially an agreement in place that says, look, we're not going to prosecute you if you step forward and file these returns, as long as you do it voluntarily, as long as you get yourself into a position where you're at least making arrangements to pay the tax, if not paying the tax in full. And, of course, that's a big problem for a lot of people, Jim, is because the only reason they didn't file the returns is because they don't have the money to pay. And if they couldn't pay 1 year, they sure as heck can't pay 5 years. And now you've got to get yourself into a position to negotiate with the IRS, and that's something the tax amnesty material will help you do also.
Very good. We're going to go ahead, Dan, and put you on hold, and we're going to take our first break here. This will be our only break during Dan's segment. Now, for those that are listening and you'd like to get more information about Dan Pilla, he's the only guy I recommend when it comes to if you have an IRS problem. And he doesn't pay me anything to say that. I just have known him for so long that he's the only guy I can trust. And I've sent people to him for years, and we regularly get emails from folks wanting us to recommend somebody. We recommend Dan Pilla, his website, taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. And we're taking questions tonight for Dan. If you want to join in with your tax situation, of course, you can stay anonymous. I'm not going to put your name out there. You could just give us a first name or make up a first name. 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. Or we'll keep taking questions by email, and I've got a whole stack of those. Jim@ChristianMoney.com, Jim@ChristianMoney.com. We're going to take a break here. This is a four-minute break, and we'll be right back. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Recently, I did an event in Chicago unveiling a brand new service called Christian Money Plus. It's been years in the making, and I'm super excited to let you know that it is now available. At the centerpiece of this new program is the ability for you to have unlimited access to me personally using the internet. You'll also receive my 12-page newsletter mailed to your home each and every month. Now, there are tons of other benefits, such as our suite of financial calculators, model portfolios, and much, much more. Right now, I'm offering several bonuses to our new subscribers. Some of these bonuses include a video on how to use the internet to raise money for your idea or project. This is money you will never have to pay back. There's also a second video on how to save money by dropping cable TV, and I also cover on this video how to get free home phone service for life. Yes, you can drop cable TV and still get hundreds of channels on your television set legally using the internet. All of that, including how to get the free home phone service for life, all of that on your second bonus video. Additional bonus reports include how to opt out of Obamacare, as I did, and save thousands by joining what's called Christian Medical Sharing. Another bonus report shows you step-by-step how to stop Google from spying on you. All of this information is available right now to subscribers of our brand new service, Christian Money Plus. I sure hope you'll consider joining us. All of the money that comes in every month from Christian Money Plus goes to further the mission of our website, ChristianMoney.com. Check it out today. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Again, that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. You can subscribe right now and access all of these bonus reports within a matter of just a few seconds. Check it out right now. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com.
Okay, we are back. My name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com, and my guest tonight is Dan Pilla. He is the IRS problem solver, we call him, and his website is TaxHelpOnline.com. TaxHelpOnline.com. I'll give you his number here as well, 800-553-6458. And if you'd like to talk to him live on the air right now, you can do that by calling us at 888-287-3316, your IRS issue. You can ask him about it directly right now live on the program, 888-287-3316, or you can send your question by email to jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. Dan, the questions keep rolling in by email, so let's go with those. Somebody wants me to talk about, I want to know your background. Are you a lawyer? Are you a CPA? Or are you an enrolled agent, they're asking?
All right, well, that's a good question, Jim. I've got, first of all, let me give you a little bit of background here. I got 33 years of experience as a tax litigation consultant. And what that means is I don't prepare tax returns, but I get into the act after the IRS calls a return into question. Then I deal specifically with individuals that have tax collection problems. Jim, I am admitted to practice in the United States Tax Court, so I'm a United States Tax Court practitioner, and I'm an enrolled agent, and I have an accounting background, but not a CPA.
Okay, interesting. So are you an attorney, or is there a way to get admitted to practice in tax court without being an attorney?
Well, I'm not an attorney licensed in the state of Minnesota, Jim, but there is a special bar exam that is held by the tax court every 2 years, and that is very specifically pointed at tax practice, and so I have been a member of that bar for quite a long time now.
Very good. I did not even know that about you. I learned something new tonight. All right. Somebody's asking here about these ads you hear on the radio on shows like Sean Hannity, for example. One of these companies, I'll mention a name, Taxmasters. And the guy, he had a really nice beard. I was jealous of his beard. But the whole thing went bankrupt. And when the story came out, it was really sad. I mean, apparently people were giving this guy, this organization based out of Houston, Texas, like $5,000 or $10,000 to solve their tax problems. And many of these folks, the allegations are that they never got a phone call back. They never got any help whatsoever. And you hear these nationwide firms that promote themselves on the radio like this. There was even one out of it was a lady, and she was an attorney out of Las Vegas, and she went under as
She was in California. You're talking about Ronnie Deutsch. She was in Southern California.
Ronnie Deutsch. So what is the deal on these
Ronnie,
national?
Ronnie Deutsch, yep.
What is the deal, Dan, on these national firms that you hear about on these big radio shows? I mean, how are they any different than Dan Pilla? And, you know, can we paint with a broad brush and say if you're seeing an ad on Fox News for a company like this, it's probably not the way to go? I've always told people, call
well,
Dan.
Jim, I don't think you can ever paint with a broad brush like that, because the fact of the matter is there's legitimate organizations out there that are helping people. But here's what the reality is. The fact of the matter is that most of these companies, and again, not all of them, but most of these companies are fly by night, which means that, you know, they're here today, gone tomorrow. You talked about Taxmasters. They were around 3 or 4 years, probably more than that, 4 or 5 years, made a big splash, had their name everywhere. J.K. Harris is another one, had its name everywhere. J.K. Harris got sued by 17 attorneys general in the various states around the country. I mentioned Ronnie Deutsch. You were talking about the lady that was on TV all the time. She was from Southern California, had a Las Vegas office too. You're right about that. And so, you know, she got shut down by the state of California. Taxmasters got shut down by the state of Texas because most of these people, most of these companies, they do such massive marketing, Jim, that they get clients lined up at the door, and they have no intention of servicing these clients because they just don't have the capacity to serve that many, and so they take their money, and people just don't get. They just don't get any satisfaction from them. They don't get their problem solved. You know, the difference between those organizations, and when I say those, I really mean all of them now at this point, between those organizations and Dan Pilla is real simple. I've been doing this 33 years, Jim. There's nobody, and I mean nobody, that's been in this business longer than I have, and there's nobody that's got more experience than I have in dealing with the Internal Revenue Service. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, was first released in 1992. Jim, in that year, when that book first came out, You could count on one hand the number of tax professionals that were out there in the country doing this work. Of course, I was one of them. It wasn't until my book was out there and got widely circulated that a lot of these tax pros, a lot of these accountant types would read the book, and there was a lot of these people that read my book and said, hey, I can do this, and they tried to go into business doing it. And, of course, the results you see are the fly-by-night operations where they take people's money and don't perform the services.
And somebody mentions here, they said that you have a father that was prominent in the tax world. Is that correct?
Well, I've got a father. That's certainly true. I wouldn't say he was prominent in the tax world, Jim. He got in trouble with the Internal Revenue Service, which is how I got started in dealing in this business in the first place. My dad had a small business in our hometown of St. Paul, Minnesota. He got behind on his employees withholding taxes. And in 1974, Jim, I was just a kid in high school at the time. In 1974, the IRS padlocked the doors, and they auctioned the equipment off for a couple cents on the dollar. And then in 1977, 78, right in there, they turned their attention to our family home, and they tried to seize and sell it for the back tax liability. And that's how I got involved with IRS defense work, just trying to help my family solve that problem. And so, you know, to the extent that my dad, you know, is in the tax world, it was because of the tax problems that he had, which got me started in this business.
Okay, and I think I may remember that now, reading that in one of your books, that story, or maybe share that story on Marlon Maddox. All right, this is going to be an odd question for you, but I'll throw it back to you. In light of what we've talked about, and let me add one comment to my deal about my thoughts about tax masters and these others. You know, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. I think you're right. That's unfair. But here's my theory is when you're buying time on Fox News and these big channels, you probably have to charge a lot of money to kind of make up for that advertising. That's how you end up in this cycle of having to charge people a lot. And then it's hard to live up to how much you're charging people. And it sort of creates like a vicious cycle. And that somebody's asking how much you charge. They want to know just in a general situation. What does a Dan Pilla charge if somebody calls your office? There may not be an answer to that, but I thought I would
ask.
Well,
there's not an easy answer to that, Jim, but I will say this. I will say this. The another fundamental difference between me and these organizations that are out there is these organizations are always going to want $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 from you to fix it, to quote-unquote fix a tax problem. And that's not the case with me at all, and I'll tell you why. We don't turn clients away. And even people that don't have a lot of money that can't pay a substantial retainer for direct representation. And I'll tell you why that is. I have various levels of service that we offer to people. Obviously, the books are available, and you can spend under $100 for a set of books and get your problem solved if you're willing to go through the books on your own and follow the procedures that I lay out in the books, which is very, very effective, by the way. My books work. They've helped hundreds of thousands of people, Jim, and they can help your listeners too. All right, so that's number one. The second thing we offer that these other companies do not is phone consultation. So you don't have to retain me to represent you, but you can say, look, I just got to talk to Dan because I've read this stuff and I've got three or four questions and I need to get my questions answered. For as little as a couple hundred dollars, you can buy a consultation package with me and get personal consultation directly from me right over the phone, answering your questions and solving your problems. The next level we have is for those folks that need a little bit more guidance. They need to know not only what to do, but a little bit about how to do it. We have an evaluation and consultation package, Jim, that's just $1,200, and what that gets you is a full evaluation of your situation where I take your facts and circumstances, I lay out for you a strategy, a step-by-step strategy, and I put this in writing. It's usually a 4-to-6-page written evaluation letter that you get from me that lays out the step-by-step plan. And then I provide you with unlimited phone consultation to guide you through the plan a step at a time, taking you by the hand and guiding you right through the process. Now, you know, so within that body of services for a very reasonable amount of money, virtually everyone can get their problem solved. Now, there's some people out there, Jim, that want direct representation. They don't want to do it themselves. They want somebody to represent them to become their power of attorney. Now, that's more expensive, Jim, for obvious reasons. And that depends on the situation that we're dealing with and those folks I talk to personally before we talk about any prices.
Okay, that's really good information because, you know, you're right. There are a lot of people out there that, you know, maybe either a lot of people think they can't talk to the IRS directly, but they certainly can. And if they know what program they're applying for and how to do the paperwork and what to say, they may be able to get all that from your book or maybe one of your consultation packages. So that's really, really good information to know.
And, I'll tell you what one reason why it's so effective, Jim, is this. And a lot of people don't realize this. You know, they'll say, you mean I got to talk to the IRS myself? Well, here's the fact. 95% of everything that we do with the IRS is in writing, Jim. So it's not like you're calling these people on the phone and trying to negotiate a deal. It's done in writing. And I help you in these consultation situations. I help you every step of the way with the forms and letters and so forth that need to be written.
Very, very good. Now, somebody's asking here about the innocent spouse rule. I'm not going to read this whole email, but there was a divorce and the husband wasn't paying the taxes properly. There was a business involved, et cetera, et cetera. And they're now in trouble because they were filing a joint tax return with their husband, and they want to know how to get this innocent spouse rule invoked so that they can get out of these taxes.
Well, that's a good question. The innocent spouse rule is something very important that anybody in an unfortunate marital a dissolution situation needs to know about, Jim, because if you file a joint tax return with your spouse, in this case the husband never paid the tax, it is possible to have your situation separated from that joint liability through the innocent spouse program. Now, there's three different types of relief that are available under the innocent spouse rules, but the one very general relief is, it very simply says this. I'm oversimplifying here a little bit, but in my taxpayer's defense manual, I have a whole section in there that deals with the innocent spouse. But the bottom line is this. If you can demonstrate that you either did not know or have reason to know that the taxes were unpaid, or that in this case the husband was making assurances to the wife that he would pay the taxes, and the wife had reason to believe that the husband would pay the taxes, and it would be unfair to hold the wife responsible for those tax liabilities. You know, she's got limited income, limited assets. She's not living with the husband anymore. Maybe there was some abuse situation in the house and he forced her to sign the returns against her will. Any of those kinds of things. If that stuff is going on, Jim, then the wife can be separated from the tax liability and not be stuck with the joint liability, and that would leave it with the husband.
And that's something that this person can call you about, or is that in one of your books?
Yeah, it's both situations. It's in one of the books. It's in my taxpayer defense manual, and that's something we do all the time for folks, either through a consultation process or through a representation.
All right, taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com for that emailer. Here's the next question. Someone wants to know if you agree with the idea that if you're running a small business, that you should set up at least a small S corporation so that all of your expenses are borne by the corporation and you're not filing a Schedule C because your audit chances will go down if your money, income, and expenses are first accounted for in a corporate form and then only on your personal tax return are you showing the net income from the operation and you're not expensing all of the expenses on a personal tax return with a Schedule C. They're saying they read somewhere that this makes the chances of an audit go down as opposed to doing just a personal, like a sole proprietorship with a Schedule C.
Well, I will say this, Jim. There's all kinds of business reasons to do business out of a corporation. I'll tell you, a corporation is not for everybody, and just because you're an individual small business does not mean you should rush out and start a corporation, because what most people don't realize is you create a whole new level of reporting and compliance obligations that are that attach to that corporation that do not attach to a Schedule C. Now, having said that, I will say this also. I do not believe that you get this audit insulation just because you're using a schedule a corporation versus your Schedule C. And I'll tell you why I say that. In 2004, when the IRS released its five-year strategic plan for 2004 through 2009. It very specifically identified as the so-called flow-through entities as a heightened audit target. The flow-through entities I'm talking about are subchapter S corporations like the caller or the emailer referred to, partnerships and LLCs, all right? And by flow-through, what I mean is those entities do not have a tax liability. The net bottom-line profit or loss just flows through from the entity to the individual, and he reports it as net on his tax return. In 2004, the IRS specifically identified these flow-throughs as a target of heightened audit intensity, and every year for the last 10 years, the audits of these organizations have gone up, up, up. Right now, Jim, the IRS has got very aggressive audit projects going at schedule at subchapter S corporations, not just from an income and expense standpoint, but the other problem you get into is that as the employee of your corporation, you have a responsibility to draw a W-2 salary from that corporation, and very few accountants set these things up right, and so consequently, most people involved with these sub-S corporations are not handling the employment side of the problem correctly, and they get themselves in all kinds of trouble. It's not audit. It's not income and expense trouble. It's employment tax trouble, which is a whole different thing. And remember, that's what got my father in trouble, and that's what got his print shop seized. And so you know, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. And it's unfortunately, I don't see many of them done right.
All right. Again, Dan's website, taxhelponline.com. And this is going to be our last question of the night here. Somebody is asking, this primary residence, they have a situation where the foreclosure resident want to know what's going to happen with the amount of the difference between what the house sold for and what they actually owed on it. There's going to be like a charged off amount here of like $50,000 or $60,000. This might play into your new book, the tax forgiveness thing. What happens to them? Do they end up getting taxed on this amount of money that they're going to be receiving maybe from the bank, but the IRS maybe not so much?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, that does play directly into my book, my brand new book, which we've talked about, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. And in a situation like that, Jim, where you've got a house that's disposed of through a short sale or even a foreclosure where the bank writes off the balance of the loan, in that situation, Jim, the bank is going to issue a Form 1099 to the IRS, and the IRS is going to take the position that that's income, and if you don't do anything, they're going to come back and say, okay, you owe us taxes on the $50,000 or $100,000, whatever the write-off amount is. Just doing nothing is going to make a mistake. All right, because the IRS will take the position that that's taxable income. However, in the case of a principal residence, you need to know that there's an exception to that rule. It's called the Mortgage Debt Relief Act, which was passed by Congress in 2008. And what it said is that if you got debt forgiveness as a result of losing a principal residence, then that's not taxable income. But you as the taxpayer have the burden of proof that the exception applies. And in my book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness, I show you exactly how to do that. I show you how to file the tax return correctly so you don't end up paying taxes on this income that's not taxable.
Okay, very good. And, Dan, we've got just a minute left here. Take a minute, give people your phone number, website again, and tell them about some of the materials that you have available.
Sure, yeah. The website, again, is taxhelponline.com. That's all one word. There's no spaces. Taxhelponline.com, or the phone number is 1-800-553-6458. And Jim, we've got all of my resources available. All the various books that I've written are discussed on the website. I also have a number of free special reports on the site, Jim. And as long as you ask me, I'm to tell you that getting back to the question that this other caller or emailer asked about the Subchapter S Corporation, I have a free report on my website called Dan Pilla's Guide to Starting Your Own Small Business, where I talk about all the different business structures, corporation, partnership, LLC, sole proprietorship, which one is best for me, what are the reporting requirements, what are the compliance things that I have to deal with. It's all in that free report that's on my site.
Yeah, very, very good website, taxhelponline.com. Our good friend Dan Pilla, good to have you with us again, sir. We'll have you back in a few months.
My pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. God bless. Dan Pilla, a good guy. You know, I've known Dan Pilla, I don't know, 20 years. Flew him into Orlando at one point to be on my TV show with me back in the 1990s. And of all the years of referring people to Dan, I've never had one person, never one person come back to me and say they got bad advice or Dan treated them unfairly or anything, which is pretty amazing over the years with all the people we referred to him. And I talked to him before, maybe we could work out some kind of an advertising deal, but nothing like that ever together. So just because I like him, I believe with all my heart in what he's doing and the service he's providing is why we continue to recommend him. But who knows, maybe down the road he'll buy some ads from us. We wouldn't mind that at all. All right, hope you'll be with us again in 2 weeks when we're back live. No live show next week because of the Super Bowl. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.